Chapter 15. I waited for the girls to wake up, and then I explained some more of my plan to them. All three of them were very excited to help me complete the final phases of my scheme, and I had a good feeling about my idea as I ate breakfast. I took Evangeline up to the castle with me, and her steps were energetic as she walked beside me. We explored every facet of the building before we made our way toward the Duke's dirty laundry. I'd succeeded in pissing off the Duke to the point that he was in a murderous rage, but I still had a few more things to take care of before my plan would be perfect. "Come with me," I said as I pulled Eva into the Duke's bedroom and closed the door.
"What are we doing in here?"
she asked with a curious tilt of her head, and her gray eyes were alight with mischief and excitement. "Well, I'm planting a letter from one court wizard to another in the Duke's dirty laundry." I grinned. "But we have all the time in the world to do whatever we want to."
"And what is it that you would like to do, Great One?"
Eva's eyes twinkled as she stepped up and gazed into mine. "Well, I'd like to do you, for starters." My grin widened even more. "How would you feel about that?"
"Here?"
Her eyebrows twitched upward in surprise. "Here, right now." Having a quickie with Alyssa yesterday had been amazing, but I couldn't help wanting the blonde bombshell in front of me, too. Plus, fucking all my women in the Duke's castle without him even knowing I was here was a fun challenge. Evangeline's mouth parted slightly, and a blush crept to her cheeks, but she didn't refuse me, so I lowered my lips to hers for a sweet, soft kiss. Our embrace deepened with each passing moment until the Duke's daughter flicked her tongue across my teeth and elicited a moan from me. "Oh, God, can I take that as a yes?" I asked as I nibbled on her lower lip and pressed kisses into her jawline. Eva murmured, so I dipped my mouth lower to lick, suck, and nibble on her throat and neckline. The Duke's daughter let out little gasps with each new spot I paid attention to, and the skin of her neck flushed a pink hue that warmed up her creamy paleness. "We could get caught, you know." I hooked my fingers in the edges of the neckline of her dress so I could pull it off her shoulders.
I don't care.
Eva breathed, and her eyes were hazy with desire. "Good." I chuckled, and then I returned to her mouth before I slowly backed her up toward the bed until the back of Eva's legs collided with the edge.
"Oh!"
She gasped as she sat down abruptly, and I chuckled to myself. Sorry about that," I said with a teasing smile. "I'll slow down and take my time."
"Okay,"
she murmured as she fluttered her eyelashes. I grinned as I gently pushed her back into the blankets of the Duke of Argonauld's bed. The sheer naughtiness of what we were doing set my blood on fire, and my cock was already throbbing against the restraint of my pants. Eva was wearing one of the short maid dresses I'd grabbed as disguises for the girls, and the skirt came to her mid-thigh, which left plenty of creamy skin exposed for me to explore with my hands and my mouth. Once Eva was situated among the tangled blankets on the bed, I began to kiss her slowly from foot to head and back again. I took my time to trace light, teasing touches across her body, and she gasped every few moments when I increased the pace. Finally, I exposed her breasts and began to continue my ministrations upon her perky pink nipples. The rosy buds quickly hardened, and Eva inhaled sharply as I latched on.
"Oh, Great One,"
she gasped out as I flicked my tongue across the hard nub, and goosebumps erupted along her exposed flesh. "You're so sensitive today," I observed in a pleased tone as I pulled back to observe the flushed pink color of her breasts. I massaged them in my hands and kneaded the handful of flesh until Eva arched her back to press her body closer against me.
"Oh, I want you,"
she moaned, and her hips bucked toward me. "We have all the time in the world, Evangeline," I whispered softly as I lowered my mouth to her other nipple, circled the areola slowly, and teased her until the bud was hard and erect. "I like your reactions, and I'm going to savor them as long as I can."
"Oh!"
Her eyelashes fluttered again as she relaxed slowly beneath my caresses.
Oh, that feels good.
See? Sometimes it's better to slow down and enjoy things. I pointed out as I pulled even more of her dress away to reveal her body to my roving eyes. The dress was beginning to get in the way of my explorations, so I helped Evangeline get completely undressed. Then the Duke's daughter was displayed before me in all her glory, and I took a moment to soak in the image. Evangeline's perky breasts rose and fell with each breath she took, and her creamy skin was flushed a deep red already. Her gray eyes were hooded, and she licked her lips as she stared up at me from the bed. She wanted me, and I knew she was eager, but I was determined to take my time. Worst case scenario, someone walked in on us, but then I could just reset back to my save point, and then fuck her faster next time, so I wasn't worried about anything. I found a ticklish spot on her abdomen, and I let my hot breath caress her before I moved my hands down her stomach to inch southward. Eva giggled softly, but she didn't tell me to stop, so I continued the soft touches against her belly and then scooted down between her legs. She wiggled anxiously, which made me chuckle, so I slowed down even more. Then I gently caressed her inner thighs in slow circles, and I drew closer and closer to her well of desire with each motion. Oh, what's wrong? I teased as she inhaled her breath.
Nothing. I just... It's torture, grade one.
No, I haven't even gotten started yet. I grinned. Lay back and relax. You're going to enjoy this, I promise.
Everything in me wants you.
She panted in response, but I merely dipped my head and flicked my tongue across her wet slit. Eva gasped and her hips bucked upward instinctively, but I placed a firm hand on her stomach to hold her down. I took my time, and I pulled back to pause for a moment until Eva's breathing grew steadier. Then I lowered my mouth to her center of pleasure once more, and I used my hands to spread her legs even further apart to grant myself easier access. I planted kisses along the edges of her lips until she started to shiver, and then I slowly inserted my finger while I closed my mouth around her clit.
Bash!
Eva gasped, and her hands clenched the bedsheets tightly. Hold still, I growled as I tried to control my own building desire. Eva's reactions were causing my loins to burn with need, but I was determined to take my time, no matter how hard it was to restrain myself.
Yes, great one.
I slowly thrust my finger inside Eva's wet tunnel while her walls pulsated around my digit, but I continued to work her clit with my tongue while trying my best to hold her down without hurting her. Eva moaned, and I could sense her climax building. I wanted her to ride the roller coaster of pleasure multiple times before I satisfied my own needs, so I doubled down on my manipulations. Suddenly, Eva's tunnel clamped around my finger, and her whole body shook as her orgasm hit her like a ton of bricks. Her hips bucked wildly, and I abandoned my attempt to hold her down, but continued to chase after her clit until my chin was dripping with her juices. I slowed my pace, and I began to caress her legs, stomach, and any other spot on her body I could reach while she slowly came back to reality.
I want you.
Eva moaned with a voice full of desperation, but I wasn't ready to have my way with her yet. Almost, I murmured, and then I slid two fingers inside of her dripping wet entrance. I'm not done having fun with you.
But what of your pleasure, great one?
Eva bit her lip as she looked up at me with an earnest expression in her gray eyes.
I want to make you feel good, too.
Oh, this brings me great pleasure. But there'll be plenty of time for that later. Just let me love you for right now. Eva's eyes filled with emotion, but she merely nodded and laid her head back against the pillows. I chuckled happily as I returned to the well of wetness between her legs, and I lapped up her juices greedily until I felt her body heat get stronger. She was already worked up again, but I wasn't done with her just yet. I slid one finger, then two inside her gushing tunnel, and I thrust slowly in and out while I sucked on her clit. This time I built up her climax a little faster, and the next thing I knew, even more of her juices were spilling out onto the bedsheets beneath her. Eva gasped as another orgasm struck her like a bolt of lightning. I let her come back to Earth for a moment while I took the time to strip off the servant's uniform I was wearing. Once I was completely naked, I leaned over Evangeline once more, and I stared deep into her eyes before I angled my throbbing cock toward her twitching pussy. I took her mouth in mine at the same time that I slid slowly inside her until my full length was buried in her wet tunnel, and she moaned into my mouth as she wrapped her legs around my hips.
Yes!
She gasped out as I held her closely against me.
Oh, yes!
Oh, God, I love you, Eva. I murmured into her lips as I pulled out slowly and thrust into her again. Oh, I love the color of your eyes, the taste of your lips, the smell of your sweat.
I love you too.
She gasped, and I flashed her a devilish grin before I increased my pace. I buried my face in her neck so I could inhale her heady aroma while I continued to thrust slowly in and out of her spasming body. I wrapped my arms around her, and I held her closely to me. I couldn't get close enough to her. I wanted to be deep inside her. I wanted to be one with her, and I could tell she felt the same way. I could feel my need building, but I wanted to savor this moment for as long as possible. We could get caught at any moment, but I wanted to enjoy it while it lasted. So I thought about baseball and took a deep breath. Eva's hands were tangled in my hair, and she tilted back her head to kiss me while she caressed my scalp. Shivers ran down my spine, and I could feel myself about to lose control. Oh, God. You're perfect, I said in a voice full of love, and Eva's eyes welled up with emotion. I love you, just the way you are.
Oh, fill me up, great one.
Eva moaned as she clung to me with desperation.
I want to feel your seed.
Will you have my baby, Evangeline?
Yes.
Eva stammered and she held me even tighter.
Please, I want to bear your child so much.
It was all I needed to push me over the edge, and I exploded deep inside her as stars filled my vision. Oh, fuck, Eva. I gasped, and my cock throbbed and pulsed as I poured cupfuls of sperm into her tight body.
Oh, great one!
She whined when she felt my cum begin to gush deep inside of her pussy, and her hips met my final thrust as her body began to spasm once more.
Yes, yes, yes! Fill me up! Give me a child!
I held her closely while our breaths grew more normal, and then I slowly untangled her sweaty limbs. Eva blinked up at me with hazy eyes, still full of desire, and her lips were slightly parted. So, this is the Duke's bedroom, I informed her with a wry smirk. He could come back and find us in his bed at any moment.
Great one!
Eva gasped as she fumbled through the bedsheets for her maid's dress.
Won't we get in trouble?
What? You're with the Great One of Legend. There's no consequences for us, my love.
Well.
Eva's lips twitched into a mischievous smile.
In that case, shouldn't we enjoy it a little while longer?
Then, Eva repositioned herself in the bed so she could take my cum-slick cock into her mouth. She bobbed her head up and down while she worked my still-hard dick further and further into her throat, and she gagged a little before she came up for air. Oh, fuck, that feels amazing, I complimented with a happy sigh as I placed my hands behind my head. You can do that for as long as you'd like. So, that's exactly what she did. Eva took her time getting me rock hard again, and then she began to show me what all she'd learned from our last blowjob session. She'd grown in skill since the first time, and I was almost as excited about her stellar performance as she was. She continued her ministrations until I was moaning with need, and then she straddled my hips.
I'm already packed full of your cream, but I want more of it.
The Duke's daughter flashed me a smile before she slowly lowered herself down my shaft, and then she lifted again just as tantalizingly slow while her eyes rolled back into her head. Oh, I see you're enjoying yourself.
I love the way you feel inside me.
I laid back and enjoyed the view, while Eva rose up and down on my dick, and her breasts bounced ever so slightly with each motion. Her lips were parted and her hair was sweaty, but she looked perfect in my eyes. I wished I could take a photograph of how she looked riding me, but I knew I would remember it forever. We came together simultaneously as she rocked her hips back and forth, and I sprayed my load deep inside her for a second time, until it was dripping out along my shaft. Then she collapsed onto my chest while her breaths came in ragged pants. Oh, wow, you're getting good at this, I observed as I stroked her back lazily with one hand.
I learned from the best.
She chirped with a wink.
But shouldn't we continue with your plan?
No, we should. I'm in no hurry. I know it's going to work, so we just have to set up the dominoes before knocking them over.
What are dominoes?
Eva tilted her head to the side with a look of confusion, but then she smiled and shook her head.
Never mind. Something from your old world, I forget.
Ah, you're catching on. I was wondering how long it would take you.
You're still so overwhelming to me sometimes.
Eva admitted as she bashfully dropped her eyes.
It's easy for me to get flustered in your presence.
Ah, I think it's adorable you feel that way. I informed her with a wide smile. You're wonderful, Eva.
I'm glad you think so, great one.
Eva's eyes twinkled with joy.
Pleasing you has been one of the most wonderful experiences of my life.
And we have a lifetime of more ahead of us. I squeezed her against me affectionately, and then I patted her shoulder. Come on, let's get dressed and fuck up a Duke's entire world.
Sounds like fun.
Eva giggled, and then she found her maid's costume.
I think this dress is cute, but too revealing. My father would never let our servants dress like this.
Well, your father also had children around. I shrugged. I think the outfit looks super sexy on you, though.
That's good.
Eva grinned before she pulled the dress back on over her head.
You look pretty dashing in a uniform yourself.
Well, all the better to blend in with. I quipped with a wink, and then I remembered my original intention of coming to the castle that day. Well, I suppose it is time to get started. Are you ready for the fireworks?
What are fireworks?
Big, colorful explosions. We shoot them off to celebrate a big battle.
I'm ready to see some fireworks, then.
Eva said as her gray eyes sparkled. Good. I grinned as I fished the forged letter out of my pocket. It all starts with this. This letter will act as the fuel to the fire.
How can a letter start a fire?
Eva shook her head with confusion.
I suppose I must trust you, Great One. You always know what you're doing.
I crossed the room to the pile of dirty laundry, and then I placed the letter into the pocket of the Duke's sleeping robe. All right. Now I have to go give Alyssa the green light.
One day I will understand you more.
Eva laughed, and she followed me from the bedroom with her face still flushed from our lovemaking. Maybe. I grinned. I kind of like confusing you. You have the most adorable, confused look I've ever seen.
You must enjoy it often.
Eva said with a twinkle in her gray eyes.
With how often you say things I don't understand.
Next, we made our way to the kitchens, and Evangeline shot me a questioning glance when I made my way over to the storeroom. We need to grab some cooking oil for your next role in my scheme. I explained with a cocky grin. Grab one of those small kegs to help you with your quest.
Ooh, how mischievous.
Eva giggled, and she hurried over to help me. The barrels were about the size of a milk jug, and it smelled slightly of pork. I knew they would go up like lighter fluid on a stack of old tires on the 4th of July, and that's exactly what the blonde beauty was going to need to distract the entire castle. We made our way down the hallway toward the stairs, and I paused at the entrance to the wizard's wing. You should get to the stables. I'm going to go have Alyssa start the next phase of my plan, and then I will come find you later.
Of course, Great One.
Eva said as she inclined her head.
Your wish is my command.
I hugged her tightly to me, but a guard standing nearby eyed us curiously, so I cut our embrace short. There's more I need you to do, but I will explain everything later. Boop! I tweaked her nose. I'm counting on you, Eva.
I won't let you down, Great One.
The Duke's daughter replied in an earnest tone. I waved goodbye to Evangeline, and then I turned toward the entrance to the wizard's wing to find Alyssa. My wife was posing as a maid in Sarisha's entourage, and her role was pivotal for my plan's success. I rushed down the corridor to the living quarters, but I didn't have to search long. Elissa's vibrant red hair flashed ahead of me like a beacon on a dark night, and I grinned as I hurried toward her. She heard me approach, and she turned to flash me the most beautiful smile. She was following in a line behind a gaggle of other servants, and they were headed toward Sarisha's bedroom. The less likable redhead was not in sight, so I assumed Racine's wife was still in her bedroom, which meant I could steal Elissa away from her duties for a few moments. I jerked my chin in the other direction, and Elissa nodded silently with understanding. We huddled together in the corner, a short distance away from where the other servants waited, and I lowered my voice so they couldn't overhear us. "All right, it's time for your part to be played," I informed her with a shit-eating grin. "Are you ready?"
"I was born ready."
"I knew you would say that." I chuckled, and I tweaked her nose affectionately.
"Wah."
"Okay, so I need you to tell Susan and Bethy that Lady Sarisha has slept with the Duke. Can you do that?"
"Oh, yes."
Elissa squealed, which caused a couple of the servants down the hallway to turn and look in our direction. "Shh, what the..." "It has to happen in the kitchen while the cooks are cooking dinner, okay? And make sure the cooks hear you, but don't make it look intentional."
"Got it."
My wife nodded emphatically.
"I can do this, Bash. Thank you for putting your trust in me."
"I trust you completely. Now, we can't be seen together again, but I will come check in on your progress shortly. I need to go see a man about some dirty laundry."
"You do your god things,"
Elissa said, and she wiggled her fingers as she turned back toward her duties.
"I'll do girl things."
"Thank you," I whispered at her departing back, and I took a moment to appreciate the view as she walked away from me. The skirt of her maid's outfit sashayed across her perky ass cheeks in the most tantalizing manner, and memories of our quickie in the kitchen flashed through my mind. I shook my head to dispel the naughty thoughts, and then I headed into the kitchen to check on the cook's progress. Half the time they burned the dinner on their own, but I wanted to make sure this meal was inedible. I peeked inside and saw Joe and Shorty hard at work over the wood stove, so I waited until they moved away from the heat of the flames before I entered the room. They barely looked up in my direction as I made my way over to the sink, and I pretended to occupy myself with the dishes for a short while. Then the cooks began to busy themselves with the serving dishes, and I eyed the wood stove as my heart thudded in my chest. I needed to find a way to get the dinner burned before Elissa arrived to spread the rumor. Fortunately, the two cooks left the kitchen a short while later to go announce the meal to Racine and Sarisha, and I rushed over to the wood stove, opened the flue, and stirred the embers to enhance the heat of the flames. When I was satisfied, I turned back to the dishes, and I waited until the cooks resumed their work before I left the kitchen. I knew everything would go off without a hitch in this area of the castle, so I turned my attention back to the planted letter. Fred would be walking down the hallway with an armful of dirty laundry at any moment, and all I had to do was redirect him. I went to the laundry room first to grab a new disguise, and I slid into the bustling room with an air of familiarity. The servants working in this area looked up at me briefly before resuming their duties, and they ignored me completely as I grabbed a uniform for the Duke's household. I quickly changed into my new disguise before I tossed my old one into an empty room. Then I made my way upstairs to find Fred. It worked in my favor that the old man was such a slow walker, but I would have to hurry if I wanted to catch him before he made his way to the laundry room. Fortunately, that was the path I was on, so he was headed in my direction. I ran into Fred about halfway up the stairs, and I greeted him with a friendly smile. The old man squinted at me, but his vision was atrocious without his glasses, so I wasn't worried about him being able to recognize me later. By that time, it would be too late. "Hey there, Fred," I said in a cheerful tone. Then I pointed to the letter that jutted out from the pocket of the Duke's robe with a wry smirk. "You got a letter. About to fall out from your laundry. Be careful." "Wouldn't want to wash some important correspondence now, would we?"
"Oh, dear,"
Fred gasped and looked down at the bundle of clothes in his arms.
"Who's it addressed to?"
"Here, let me read it to you.
We all know you're blind as a bat."
"Thank you,"
the old man smiled. Well, looks like it says the Duke's name on it. I lied after pretending to look. Here, let me take these clothes to the laundry room so you can deliver this to the Duke. Looks important. I'm sure he wouldn't want to wait.
Oh!
Fred blinked at me for a moment, and then he allowed me to take the clothes from his arms, which left him standing there, holding on to the letter and looking confused.
All right. Make sure you take those clothes straight to the laundry room.
I will, I assured him with a grin. Fred nodded, and then he continued to walk down the stairs. But at the base, he turned in the direction of the audience chamber. I let out a breath of relief, dumped the clothes in a corner, and looked around to make sure no one else was watching me. I stomped my foot to activate the fleetness ability of my griffin feather boots, and then I zoomed through the castle faster than the eye could see. I rushed through the corridors and hallways until I arrived at the guards' barracks, and then I quickly stole a uniform before I found an empty room to change in. Dressed as a guard, I made my way back toward the audience chamber to make sure the Duke was reading the letter. I stomped my foot again, and I zipped through the castle in a blur of motion. The audience chamber was crowded with courtiers when I entered, but this didn't surprise me. I already knew what to expect. I just wanted to watch my plan unfold with my own eyes. I slowly sidled through the press of bodies, and I murmured my pardons to the nobles as I made my way around them. I was all but invisible to them in my guard's uniform, so I wasn't worried about being caught in a complex scheme to ruin the Duke. Fred was approaching the dais when I arrived at the front of the audience chamber, and he held the letter clasped firmly in his hand. Oh, I was just in time. I wanted to make sure the Duke read the letter before I went and checked on the rest of my plot. Then I would begin the final phase of my plan. The Duke of Argonold shot an irritated look at Fred as he accepted the letter from his servant. But I heard him mutter a word of thanks to the old man. Still, Argonold was kind of an asshole, so I had no regrets about what I was about to do to him. He'd sent mercenaries after me, and innocent people, after all. I watched, with bated breath, while Argonold's cold eyes scanned over the letter's contents. But when he crumpled it angrily into his fist, I turned away. Yeah, I'd seen enough, and now I needed to check on Racine. I made my way back through the audience chamber, and I was almost to the exit when the Duke yelled out,
"Racine!"
Argonold roared, and I chuckled to myself as I stomped my foot once more. I zoomed through the hallways with a shit-eating grin on my face, but I regained my composure and slowed my pace as I approached the wizard's household. I didn't want to look out of place at all, but I was anxious to see the results of my scheme. When I entered the living space where Racine resided, smoke was billowing from the kitchen, and the wizard was marching down the hallway in the direction of the smoke. This was it. The moment was hot. I was so giddy I was bouncing on the balls of my feet, and I took a few deep breaths to calm myself down. A moment later, Racine disappeared into the kitchen, and as I stood there watching, Alyssa left the room. My wife waggled her fingers at me and shot me a wink before she went in the opposite direction. I crept forward closer to the kitchen, and then I heard a sound that was like music to my ears.
"Argonold!"
Racine yelled as he rushed out of the kitchen with his face full of rage. His eyes were wide, his eyebrows were furrowed, and his fists were clenched. Hell yeah, this was so good. The court wizard stomped by me without a second glance down the hallway toward the entrance of his area of the castle. I didn't need to stop him this time to know he was on his way to the audience chamber to confront the Duke. So I went ahead and moved forward with the next phase of my plan. Once Racine was out of sight, I stomped my foot to activate the fleetness ability of my griffin feather boots for a third time. I was wearing down the durability on my magical shoes, but I didn't care. It was worth it to be able to see the results of all my hard work. I made my way out of the castle and headed toward the stables. It didn't take me more than a moment to get there, and I saw a new-looking wagon tied to four horses parked a few dozen yards away, beside the Duke's other carriages. I guessed it was the one Mahini had bought for us, but I wanted to make sure Eva was prepared first. So I just went into the stables and spotted my lover's jagged blonde hair over the rails of a stall. Eva, my dear, it's time for your dangerous task.
Oh, great one.
Eva gasped, and she placed a hand over her heart.
I didn't hear you walk up.
Ah, I'm sorry. I ran here.
What were you saying before?
Eva flashed me a brilliant smile that lit up her gray eyes.
It's time for the dangerous part?
It is. I grinned. Set the horses loose, and then use the cooking oil to set fire to the stables. Cause as much chaos as you can. I need every guard in town to rush in this direction. The wizard is on his way to the throne room, so it needs to happen now. Once you're sure the fire is burning, run, screaming from the stables to get everyone's attention, and then head around the courtyard to the other side of the castle. The wagon that Mahini bought is going to be parked under a window about 30 to 40 feet up. But I'm going to take her into the castle with me. So I need you to hold position on the wagon and wait for us to call out to you from the window above. Do you think you can handle that?
You can count on me, Great One.
Eva assured me with a confident lift of her chin. Good work. I hugged her tightly. You've been so very helpful during my devious scheme. The hard part's almost over. And then it'll be time for the Ocean's 11 part.
I don't even need to understand what you're saying. I will do whatever you ask.
This will be the last thing I ask of you before we leave town. After this, we'll be riding free.
That sounds wonderful.
Eva grinned, and I couldn't resist the urge to plant a sweet kiss on her luscious lips. We kissed for a delicious moment, and I released her reluctantly with a sigh. I have to go now. But let's do that some more later.
I am always prepared to kiss you.
Eva informed me with a serious expression.
Just say the word.
Word, I replied with a cocky grin, but the Duke's daughter merely shook her head with amusement. All right. Mahini and I are going to move the wagon now. We'll call down from the window when we're ready for you.
Good luck.
I don't need luck. I'm a god. I walked out of the stables and then crossed the few yards to where the wagons were parked. I didn't see Mahini sitting in the driver's seat of the one I thought was ours, but I softly called her name and saw her peek her head up from under the canvas.
I was wondering how long you would be,
the desert goddess said with a twinkle in her ice-blue eyes.
I've also sewed tapestries and rugs under the canvas, as you ordered. Are you having fun at the castle?
Sure am, I grinned. But now it's your time to shine. Are you ready?
I've been waiting all day to hear those words.
Mahini replied in an eager tone as she crawled out from behind the wagon dressed in the guard outfit.
What are we doing?
All right, we're going to take the wagon to the other side of the courtyard, I said as I climbed up to the driver's seat and lowered a hand so I could pull her up next to me. Oh, nice wagon, by the way.
You said to get a really good one,
she replied as she sat next to me. Well, you sure as hell did, I said as I glanced over my shoulder. The wagon was a good 20 feet long, 10 feet wide, and the sides were 6 feet deep. A thick covering of canvas stretched taut over the top, and I saw expensive leaf springs under each axle as the large horses backed us out of the parking lot. Yeah, this would carry all of our loot in style. How much did you spend? I asked as we casually rode around the castle. There were a few guards patrolling, but we looked like we belonged, and no one bothered us.
The full 500,
she said with a shrug.
You wanted the best.
Well, you'll see why we need it soon, I chuckled, and then I eyeballed the spot I wanted to park beside the castle wall and pulled the horses to a stop. Okay, do you see that window up there? I asked as I pointed to the opening a couple of stories above our head. That's the treasury room.
I understand your plan now.
Her ice-blue eyes scanned the side of the castle before they flicked to my face.
I hope our slide is long enough.
Yeah, it will be. I grinned. If not, we'll make it be. There's nothing to worry about with me around. You are going to go inside and set it up.
Will someone spot the wagon if I leave it here?
The desert goddess frowned. Eva's about to set fire to the stables, and then she'll run over and sit with it. She should get here by the time you're in the castle.
You have thought of everything.
The olive-skinned warrior smiled. Yeah, I try to. I squeezed my arm around her shoulders and then gave her directions on where to carry the tied-up tapestries. Then I jumped off the wagon, stomped my foot again, and dashed through the castle at top speeds. Ugh, I wanted a cop's radar gun so I could figure out exactly how fast I could go. But sadly, such things did not exist in this world. All I knew was that I went really, really fast. Zoom, zoom, motherfuckers, I said under my breath, with a shit-eating grin on my face. I dashed to the throne room to see the end result of all my tampering, and I sped past several guards running away from the audience chamber. What were they so afraid of? I frowned as I hurried my pace, but I skidded to a halt outside the entrance, and my jaw fell open at the scene before my eyes. It was utter carnage. Bodies littered the floor with limbs severed and heads removed. Bite marks covered the corpses, and deep scratches were carved in the dead flesh. Blood was streaked across the floor, and it was hard to recognize who anyone used to be. Blue-gray piles of ash were scattered across the floor beside the bodies of guards who had obviously fought valiantly with their lives in an effort to protect the nobles. This could only have been the work of werewolves. Then I spotted the only survivor, and it confirmed my theory. Racine stood before the throne dais with his back to me, but his shoulders heaved with each breath he took. He'd killed everyone, and I wasn't even sure if the Duke had been included or not. These nobles were annoying and intolerable, but they hadn't deserved to die. Whoops. All right, I had to do something to fix this.
Ding!
I was back at the inn with the girls again, and I let out a deep sigh as the images of the carnage I'd seen faded from my mind's eye. The girls were all still asleep, and I tried to calm myself down before I woke them up. Racine had unleashed all of his werewolves upon the helpless nobles who'd been in the audience chamber, and I hadn't been there to stop it. I reassured myself that it hadn't actually happened yet, and that everyone was still alive and well in the castle. It didn't matter anymore what Racine had done. I could stop him, and still follow through with my scheme at the same time. Whew. All I needed to do was kill his werewolves. I woke up the girls earlier than usual, so that we could start sooner, and then I finally revealed the details of my master plan, and the roles I had figured for them. They were just as excited as I was to kill both of the assholes off without getting caught. And when I explained how we would use the wagon to leave with all the gold, the three of them gasped out loud and looked like they were turned on enough to jump me there. Then we will ride out Ocean's 11 style. I grinned as I finished laying out my scheme.
I do not understand this reference. Is Ocean's 11 a costume? What style is it?
No, it's a movie. I shrugged. Don't worry about it. Just know that it's really, really cool.
Cool is good.
Alyssa informed Eva in a conspiratorial tone.
That is cool to know.
Eva replied, and then both girls giggled.
You think we can pull this off?
Mahini asked, as she redirected the conversation back to the plot at hand. that sounds exactly like what someone in the movie said. Hell yeah, we can do this, Mahini. You're with a god. Do you have the wagon yet?
I bought it yesterday, but I haven't finished sewing all the tapestries together. Do you still want me to arrive before dinner?
I mused as I tapped my lips. Why don't you come with us in the morning? Then we can kill the werewolves together, and you can park the wagon behind the stables and work on sewing them together.
I can help before you tell me to burn down the stables.
Oh, perfect. All right, let's get everything loaded up and leave together. We were all dressed as servants, loaded the back of Mahini's wagon with the various tapestries and rugs on top of our other disguises and weapons, and then we drove into the castle. I knew all the names of the guards, their wives, and their kids, so it was easy enough to sweet-talk my way past the gate, and then we parked beside the stable and changed into our various disguises. Racine's household this early in the morning was calm, and I still had plenty of time to get my plot set into motion before dinner. So, we headed toward the workshop. The steps leading down into Racine's workshop were cool and inviting, but I knew what laid ahead of us, so I set my jaw into a grim line. The werewolves were in cages, but I still remembered how difficult it had been to dispatch them the last time I'd run into the beasts.
Look at all of them.
Alyssa breathed as her vibrant green eyes widened in shock.
Those look just like the creatures that attacked us in the woods.
Yeah, they're pretty much the same. And we have to kill them. Otherwise, Racine will use them to murder all the nobles in the castle.
Got it.
Mahini nodded, and she pulled the guard's sword from its sheath.
I'll take the left side, you take the right. I can help. Me too.
Eva added, never one to be left out. The girls and I got to work, and we split up the cages of werewolves among us. Fortunately, the beasts were calmed by the magic of Racine's wand, so they didn't stir until I slid my silver-coated blade into their flesh. The first beast died before it realized what had happened, but the second creature roared out in pain before it fell to the cage floor in a heap. The girls were having similar levels of success, and a short while later, every single beast was dead. I swiped the back of my hand across my forehead, and I let out a sigh of relief. Ugh, that was gross. Thanks for helping me, though. The next parts will be much more fun.
I'm ready for the fun part.
I love your attitude for life. I complimented with a wide smile. You're such a bright light, Lissy. That's why I chose you for a very important job.
Oh, what is that?
My wife purred as she sidled up next to me. Her forehead was damp with perspiration, which made her skin glow in the torchlight. There is a lot of valuable loot in this room. I'm gonna need you to gather it all up when you're finished setting the rumor. I'll show you what to grab, and then you'll meet Eva at the wagon with everything. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
She nodded emphatically.
Just show me what to grab, and I'll have it all in the wagon.
I took my wife around the wizard's lair, and I explained all the items I wanted her to grab. Her emerald eyes were bright with curiosity as she peered at the magical things, but she lifted her chin with determination before she met my gaze.
Easy enough.
Alyssa grinned.
What's next?
Well, we're probably an hour early, I said as I rubbed my hands together. So let's get to the tasks. Then I got them into place to perform their various roles in my plan. Mahini went back to the wagon so she could grab the slide. Alyssa headed toward the wizard's living quarters so she could get into position. And Eva and I moved the oil to the stable. And then, once I was sure the Duke was up and out of his room, the blonde and I returned to plant the letter in his laundry. Eva didn't even remember me fucking her brains out or begging me for a baby, so I started the dialogue in the same way, by asking her how she'd feel if I fucked her on the Duke's bed. We were naked a few seconds later, and I was once again licking her clit while I fingered her tight tunnel. I managed to recreate almost the same experience, but I got one more climax out of her before I, filled her up twice with my cum, and we managed to plant the letter and get out of the room just in time. Then I sent Eva back to the stables and went to see how Alyssa was doing. It was getting close to dinner time, and the rumor was about to spread through the household like a wildfire. Smoke billowed out of the kitchen when I arrived, and Racine was on his way toward the source, so I was just in time. I hoped Alyssa had followed my instructions to the letter, but so far, it looked like things were going exactly as planned. Racine wouldn't have the horde of werewolves to unleash upon the courtiers, but I still wanted to find a way to clear the audience chamber before the fallout occurred. Alyssa spotted me from the other side of the living quarters, and her eyes brightened at the sight of me. I held a finger over my lips to indicate we couldn't talk, and she nodded silently. My wife was a smart cookie, and she already knew what I needed from her. A moment later, Racine was marching out of the kitchen with a face full of rage, and I grinned. His reaction was getting better each time I saw it, but I was ready to see everything click together so I could retrieve my treasure. I turned around, stomped my foot, and zoomed toward the stables in a blur of motion. It was time to give Evangeline the cue to start the fire before Mahini and I moved the wagon, and then the whole castle would be thrown into chaos while we looted. The Duke's daughter was waiting for me, and I didn't get the chance to sneak up on her this time.
I'm ready, Great One,
she said with a curt nod.
Everything is in place, and I'm ready to move forward with the next stage of the plan.
It's time. I nodded. Let's do this.
Thank you for placing your trust in me, Great One. I won't let you down. As soon as I've got the fire started, I'll take over for Mahini at the wagon.
Awesome, I said as I walked out of the stables and joined Mahini on the wagon. A few minutes later, we had it parked under the window, and I gave the olive-skinned beauty a quick kiss before I rushed back to the castle to see what I could do to make sure the audience chamber was empty before the confrontation between Racine and Argonald occurred. I spotted Racine marching down the hallway toward the throne room, so I knew he was on his way, but I wanted to get there first. There was no way I was going to miss the fallout again. The throne room was still crowded when I entered, but the Duke was reading the letter when I arrived. Everything was still golden, and I felt myself smile as I realized I was going to be able to watch these idiots kill each other. The Duke of Argonauld crumpled the letter in his hands and rose to his feet.
"Racine!"
he roared in a voice full of rage. Suddenly a loud howl echoed through the castle, and a gasp shot through the crowd. I gripped the hilt of my sword instinctively, and I inhaled sharply. "Everyone out!" I would figure out a better way to clear the throne room later, but right now, my main concern was saving innocent lives. Racine's werewolf barreled into the audience chamber a moment later, and a terrified scream erupted from one of the ladies. I stepped forward, withdrew my sword, and stood between her and the growling beast. The werewolf inched forward, and it huffed the air like it was searching for prey. Then it zeroed in on Argonauld, and a deep, menacing growl rumbled from its throat. Ah, shit. That asshole must have summoned one werewolf. The beast raised up on its hind legs, threw back its head, and howled. Shivers ran down my spine, and all the hairs on the nape of my neck stood on end. Then the werewolf lunged forward, and it galloped toward the dais at a dead run. The Duke was done for, but what would happen to Racine? I didn't have time to think of any alternatives, since the creature was already a couple of paces away from where the Duke stood frozen. It was then I saw his face, frozen in terror, and I knew he was about to die. The werewolf roared as it leapt forward and seized the Duke by the throat, and a horrified cry rose from the gathered nobles. Then Argonauld's body fell to the floor, and his arm twisted behind him at an unnatural angle. His cold eyes stared at me, unseeing, and I had to look away. The Duke was dead, and I had the errant thought that the Silverbane vendor must have lied when he said Argonauld purchased his wares. A moment later, Racine entered the audience chamber with a scowl darkening his face. His head swiveled from side to side as he took in the expressions on the faces of the people around him, but then he caught sight of the carnage at the dais. An evil smile split his lips, and a maniacal laugh bubbled from his throat. Racine had won the conflict. The Duke was dead, but the court wizard lived. Well, time to try again.
Ding!